Hey everybody, Josh Peck here. Once again, this time I wanted to talk about, obviously once again, how New Age has infiltrated the church, but specifically with the third eye, pineal gland, sometimes it's called, the New Age version of Jesus and what the flesh means. And then I'll have a little wrap up thing to say at the end of that. But I wanted to, so those of you who haven't caught the previous two videos in this, I guess it's a series. I mean, I don't know, but the reason that I'm talking about this is I have come out of New Age and have converted to Christianity years ago. So has my co-author, Stephen Bancars. And we came together, wrote a book together called The Second Coming of the New Age. It's available at SkywatchTVstore.com if you want to get it, with a whole bunch of other books and DVDs and audio interviews and stuff like that. You can get it there. And make sure you check out Skywatch TV, because the actual episodes are airing now. And you're going to want to see those, because I'm constantly surprised by how many Christians don't realize how much New Age has infiltrated the church in a lot of different ways. So I wanted to take a few of these and kind of talk about them, so you know what to look out for yourself and for your kids, because your kids especially are susceptible to this. The generation coming up is more New Age than ever. This is not just, you know, a few people in Sedona, Arizona, or, you know, some hippies from the 60s or 70s. You know, it never really went away, but there's been a major resurgence that is lying under the surface of mainstream Christianity. And it's important information, because I was caught up into it. Stephen Bancars was caught up into it. And many, many Christians are caught up into it and unknowingly practicing in things that the Bible strictly forbids, even to the point where with people who committed these things back in Old Testament times were put to death. I mean, God really does not look fondly on these things, and that's an understatement to say the least. So something that has kind of become more mainstream with Christianity, or at least the Christianity that, you know, the fringe Christian types, like you guys, like me, Skywatch TV, people who look into conspiracies and like researching for themselves. They don't want to believe what the mainstream has to say. They want to, you know for themselves, which great, you know, we should be doing that. But unfortunately, sometimes something will slip through. Something that's not Christian, something that's, you know, New Age or satanic, or, you know, we talked about anti-Semitism a couple of videos ago, and how that, you know, the idea of the Jews not being the real Jews, how that slipped in from Satanism. And now many Christians find themselves believing that. But there's other things, like with the pineal gland. Now, the idea of the third eye in connection to the pineal gland of the brain, it's actually popular among much of New Age teaching. And the way it's often presented to Christians is by saying it is the pineal gland that is activated during prayer. Something that also is sometimes said is that there is a worldwide conspiracy to calcify the pineal gland, usually by fluoridated water, thereby preventing us from being able to pray effectively. And whether you believe that or not, just think where that leads to its logical conclusion. I mean, this teaching essentially states that if you aren't getting your prayers answered, or if you feel God is far away from you, it's not because of a possible sin in your life or something that you need to repent of or something that you could be doing more. No, it's out of your hands. It's due to forces outside of your control. So you might as well accept it or find a way around it. And the way around it that's suggested is usually something like meditation, opening chakras, opening yourself to the universal connection that we all share, something like that, or participating in other types of New Age practices to decalcify the pineal gland. Now, of course, the biblical solution is much simpler and it's completely different. You know, it's just repent and pray without ceasing. Now, there is a lot more that could be said about that, because I'm not trying to say, when it comes to the you know, calcification of pineal glands, I don't know. I just, what I do know is we're in control of our own choices. If you don't have a very active prayer life, I wouldn't look to the pineal gland I would look in, you know, at your own life. What is going on between you and Jesus? Because you know it can't be Jesus, you know. And why would Jesus put you in a position where you have to participate in New Age practices in order to get closer to God? It doesn't add up. It doesn't make any sense. Even if there was a calcification going on or whatever, and if it was something unhealthy for us or something, do you think that Jesus can't just break that? Or if it is, if you could look at it as a disability, is there some reason that you might need to be in that position? You know, I've thought about this. I have a rare bone disease called Trevor's disease. And I've thought about this before because there's been a lot of times where I've prayed for healing and it just hasn't happened, you know. So that lead back at the, you know, during the time, that would lead me to believe or think things like, why didn't it work? You know, I prayed. I did everything I was supposed to. I prayed. I put music on, you know. I tried to get in the spiritual mode to, you know, accept the impartation of the gift of healing from the Holy Spirit and all this, but it didn't work. See, that's the wrong attitude. It's not that it didn't work. It's that your prayer was answered and God said no for some reason. And that's a hard lesson to learn because it means that we don't have as much control as we think we do. God has all the control. And if there was a condition where he needed us to do something before he would heal us, well, then we need to seek what that is and we need to ask him. But maybe again, you don't get an answer. That's what happened with me. It took me a long time of praying and trying to think about it. You know, what is the reason? Because remember, he even told Paul that his affliction or whatever, that his grace was sufficient enough for him and he wasn't going to heal whatever that is. And there's contention as to, you know, what that is exactly. But not every prayer gets answered, yes. And so now some Christians think that if they just do a certain amount of things, they can kind of convince God, you know. It really what it is, it roots from New Age and tapping into a universal force in the universe that you can use to do whatever you want. But God is not like that, you know. God's not always going to say yes. But if he doesn't say yes, he has some higher purpose. And it might not be for your benefit or for your good, but it'll be for his, right? And you might think, well, that sounds really selfish, but what do you think about God's good? You know, his good is going to be the benefit of his children. So the way, you know, this is kind of the way that I was thinking about it and had to go through this long process of thinking, you know, why aren't I healed? And why do I have this chronic pain every day? Much of my audience today is comprised of chronic pain sufferers. And many of those people have found relief from things that I've found relief through, such as kratom. And we've done several videos on this channel about that. I'm looking into CBD oil. But even just having somebody who is, you know, who's going and doing interviews and they can watch on TV and having and knowing that that person is suffering from chronic pain in a similar way that they are, it gives them hope and it makes you feel connected. When you suffer something like that, it helps a lot when you can turn on the TV and somebody else is talking about things that you can at least identify with. I wouldn't have that part of my ministry if it was healed. So if it was healed years ago, sure, I wouldn't be in as much pain, but a big chunk of my ministry would be gone. I would not be willing to sacrifice that. Like if I knew that that was the deal at the time, like if Jesus just, you know, appeared and said to me, I can heal your disease, or you can keep it and I'll show you how to manage it, but you'll be in pain for the rest of your life, but you're going to be able to help a lot more people through that. If I had that choice to make, I would take the pain. Now, some people might say, well, okay, well then why doesn't he just heal everybody? Because that's tyranny, essentially. If God healed everybody and there was no pain in the world, imagine how detrimental a stubbed toe would be on the rare occasion it would ever happen. And then people would wonder, why didn't God prevent this stubbed toe from happening? You know, we forgot what pain was all about. And you know, this is tragic and terrible. And so he'd have to fix that too. He'd have to basically restore everything to Edenic an Edenic state, like it was in the Garden of Eden. And he's going to do that, but we're not there yet. You know, he's not ready yet. So that's fine. In the meantime, people have free will. People can make bad choices, all that stuff. So that's why he doesn't stop every bad thing, like pain and stuff. So it's not that it didn't work. It might be that he has a better purpose. God says that all things work together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purposes. That doesn't mean all things will be good. We'll just be honest. It's life. Most things are going to be bad. A lot of things are going to be painful. And that just is life. But God can take those painful things and work something together that's really good. Think about the ingredients of an unbaked cake, separate ingredients, raw eggs, flour, all this stuff that you wouldn't want to eat by themselves. They're terrible by themselves. But when you mix them together, give it some time in the oven, and it comes out, you got a beautiful cake. So I think that's what God does with trauma and pain. He can use that to help a lot more people. And even if you don't see it today, that doesn't mean that it won't happen. You may never see it. You might not see it until you can stand face to face with him and he can explain how what you went through was better for his purposes than it was for what you thought your own purposes are. So, we just have to trust him. Now let's talk about Jesus in the flesh and the New Age idea of this. Now, this is a big one. And within New Age teaching, it's usually saved for last because it's a direct attack on the very important tenet of Christian belief. If a person leads with this, chances are they're going to lose, half of their Christian audience immediately. But if a person works to this gradually, then they have a higher chance of convincing the majority. And there are many ways that this is presented, but the basic premise is to deny the flesh aspect of Jesus Christ. Usually people teaching this will say something along the lines of, the pregnancy of Mary was an implantation and not a conception. They'll deny that Mary, from a biological level, had any part in the conception of Jesus. So simply speaking, they'll say that, Mary didn't provide the egg. They'll say that an already conceived organism, like a zygote or a fetus, was implanted into Mary. But the problem with this is it completely denies Jesus Christ came in the flesh, because it denies the entire flesh aspect of his conception. So 1 John 1-3 states, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world." So as stated earlier, this is far from an exhaustive study, these videos that we've done. These are just a few of them. If you want me to continue doing them, I can keep doing these, but this is not an exhaustive study into New Age influences in the Christian church. However, if this is all new to you, this can be used as a springboard for further study. And most importantly, we should be operating in spiritual discernment. So if something someone says doesn't feel quite right, or even if it does, but you're just curious about it, we should look into it and see where these teachings come from. And if we hear someone claiming to be a Christian and teaching these types of things, we should expose the heresy, yes, but we should also pray for that person in love and humility and try to get them back on the right track. If there are brothers and sisters in the Lord, then we need to help them. And you might say, well, it's they're not really your brother or sister if they're teaching this stuff. Well, have you never lost your way? Where's the line? We don't want to play that game. So help them out. Try to get them back on the right track. If they don't listen, at least you tried. And then you just have to keep praying for them. Pray that God will open that person's heart to see the truth, to see the deception that he or she is under, that they'll repent and come back into the fold to be a powerful warrior for Christ rather than for Satan. And again, remember, Ephesians 6 teaches us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Our enemy is a spiritual one. So let us not fall into the ways of the enemy based in fear, hatred, and anger. Instead, let us follow God in love, humility, respect, and a humble spirit. Okay, so all that being said, it concludes this video. I'd love to know what you think. Leave me a comment in the comment section below. Don't forget to subscribe and click the bell, even though I don't think it's going to do anything. But, we should try to get more people to do that. So please do if you haven't already. And let me know what you think. Until next time, love you all. Take care and God bless.